It's that time again for the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We love Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon because they love you, Ira. They present all your work on JoeBucksFan.com, your three columns a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, your podcast Tuesday and Thursday, even your 10 takeaways from every game. And your occasional bonus work. You're working like a dog, Kaufman. Would you take a couple days off?
And perhaps some personal appearances along the way, Stephen. You never know.
That's right. I know you probably have one coming up, but it's not official yet. We're going to be announcing it soon. But you will be able to press the flesh again with Ira. Last time you were out in public, Ira, was our watch party at Abe's Place for the Dallas Cowboys night game. And I'm not kidding here when I report again that chance of Ira broke out in the bar. Ira.
Well, what else are they going to say? The Bucks are losing the whole freaking game over there, Steve.
This was before the game, Ira. People were chanting Ira. When's the last time anybody chanted Ira? Certainly, Arthur Blank does not chant Ira. He chants Irv.
Well, I mean, you know, my wife's done it occasionally, but, you know, we don't need any Irv chants in the bar, and I don't want you leading any in that regard.
That was fantastic. Fantastic, Ira.
I did say on occasion. On occasion.
No, we understand that. We understand. Oh, my goodness.
One must focus on the column, Steve. The column is the end-all and be-all. Since you are throwing me all this largesse over there. All right. Try to compose yourself.
It's a big word for the podcast, largesse.
Try to compose yourself.
All right. So, Ira Kaufman Podcast. A little business, Ira. I wasn't joking about your personal appearance that'll be announced soon, probably next podcast. And we love the listeners on the podcast. Thousands, literally thousands and thousands and thousands tuning in every single episode.
You said if this was a radio show, Steve, I would have a rating.
You would have, if this was a radio show in town, you would have solid ratings. Solid ratings. And we're just getting started.
We
haven't even done, if you big picture, that many hours of podcasts. But it's fantastic the way this thing has grown. And it will continue to grow. You can listen to Ira on iTunes, very easy. And it's a great place where Ira can compete with other podcasts. Your episodes are doing very well.
And speaking of growth, Steve, without getting specific, I understand Joe Bucks fans has some plans for the future. There will be some additions, and I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, last year we brought Buccaneers fans Todd Wright with his fantasy football podcast, which we'll be expanding to two in the fall. They get great listenership as well. And we added you last year, and who could top that? I'm not going to say 2017 will be better than the addition.
You got the commish rolling, you know.
We got the commish rolling last year, and there are more additions coming. So Gil Arcia on Saturdays.
That's right.
There's more to come, which we're real excited about. Unfortunately, Lee DeKemper is not with us again today. Man's very busy. You know, he is the other Joe, and he's out there living the Joe life. You know,
you also will have a presence on WDAE in 2017.
Of course, so you can listen to us there. Lee and I are there every Wednesday at 5:00. This week was no exception. We appreciate everybody on the podcast here, and we appreciate all the clicks when you're car shopping over at EdmoresCadillacTampa.com and EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Mr. Kaufman.
You can't look at me without seeing this Ed Morse shirt, Steve. You just can't. I mean, it's staring you right in the face.
You're always wearing the gear, and there will be new gear for you. You may not get a car this year. You may not get your treasured Escalade or your ATS or your CTS at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa or Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, but you will be getting new gear.
What am I getting, a pom-pom, Steve? I mean, come on now.
Well, a couple of new shirts.
A hat.
Know, some new styles, maybe some pants. You know, the Ed Morse Cadillac knickers, you know, would look fantastic on you. Maybe some tennis shoes.
They've been good to me, Steve. I got nothing to complain about.
Yeah, we're going to head out there for some lunch soon, and I know how much you love lunch. So
there you go.
Ira, we're going to go right to the fans. We have some questions for your podcast. Usually on Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan, we put out a little, hey, Ira, we're about to record. We got some questions, and here's a couple. First, we'll go right to it, Ira.
Who's this from, Steve? Who's it from?
This is from Jason Stokes at JL Stokes 77. Who do you expect to be the next Ring of Honor inductee? Rondé, right? That's the question. Rondé or no?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can look at this, Steve. Now, this is going to be the first year of Rondé Barber's eligibility for the Hall of Fame. Class of 2018. It's a stellar class, headed by Ray Lewis and Randy Moss. Brian Urlacher, who I don't happen to think is a slam dunk first ballot guy. Steve Hutchinson, an excellent guard for Seattle, combined with Walter Jones on that left side. And Sean Alexander ended up running for 30 touchdowns behind those two guys. So it's a talented class, and this will be Rondé Barber's first. Now, I'm going to say right off bat, last week in Phoenix, two guys that are on the panel told me, I don't think Rondé Barber's going to make the top 15. He's not even getting in the room. I was absolutely floored by that.
Yeah, we discussed that.
Yeah, we did.
I wrote a whole story about it, and a lot of fans were floored, too, saying it was a big pile of BS.
But the way, you know, the reason I bring up Rondé Barber, Steve, is because when John Lynch, you know, the Bucks put John Lynch in their Ring of Honor, knowing that John Lynch was going to be up again for the Hall of Fame in 2017, he didn't make it. But the Bucks did everything they could. You know, this makes two Ring of Honors for John Lynch. It's quite a distinction to be in two different franchises' Ring of Honor. It wasn't enough. You know, I got to do a better job in that room, Steve, and I will. So that brings us to Rondé Barber. Do the Bucks want to boost Rondé Barber's candidacy by putting him in the Ring of Honor? I think there's a chance that that does happen. But I'm going to throw out the name that I've been throwing out for a year now, Steve. I mean, you can't get around it. Where is Dungy? Where is he? Tony Dungy's not a candidate for the Hall of Fame. Tony Dungy has a bust in Canton. When Sapp got in 2013, when Brooks got in 2014, they were inducted that fall into the Ring of Honor. No questions asked. Nobody said anything about it. If he's good enough for Canton, he's good enough for Raymond James Stadium. They could have added Dungy to the John Lynch year in 2016. He had already been awarded a spot in the hall. They chose not to do that, Steve. So, Steve, are they going to bypass Tony Dungy again in 2017? Could there be two guys this year and Dungy being one of them? We don't know. That's a Glazer decision. Now, I know they value your opinion, Steve, but you're no factor in this Ring of Honor vote.
Oh, the Glazers, you mean?
The Glazers. We're no factor. This is among the family, the co-owners. And you know what? It's hard to quibble with the choices they've made. They've made solid choices. If they go away from Dungy and Barber and don't go in the Hall of Fame direction, I could see a guy like Hardy Nickerson, who bridged that transition in the mid-90s from the bad old Bucks to the good old to the good Bucks. I could see a James Wilder who was all Tampa had in John McKay's final years as Buck coach. There's a lot of ways they could go, Steve, but the Hall of Fame seems to be on their mind right now.
Well, let me try to pin you down a little bit, Ira, because the fans want to really hear your pinned down view. So first, Ira, let me take you back to Rondé Barber and Tony Dungy. I'm not disagreeing with anything you said, but here's my question. With Barber and possibly him being Ring of Honor to help enhance his becoming a finalist for the Hall of Fame this year, do you think that he's their priority, given that there is a lot of feeling in the organization for Simeon Rice, and maybe they'd rather see him climb up the ladder a little bit farther, given that Barber's a first-timer?
Don't forget, you also got John Lynch.
There's nothing else you can do for Lynch in the Ring of Honor.
No, but, I mean, maybe they feel, Barber might take away a little bit from Lynch, which is possible.
That's true.
It's possible. Look, I'm beating an old horse. Nobody wants to support me. I don't expect any support from.
Never
I've learned
again.
That. Somewhere, somehow, you got to take care of Dungy. I'm sorry, Steve, for beating this dead horse. A lot of Buck fans, not a lot, but a sizable number, have pushed back on Dungy. They don't even like the fact that I made a speech for Dungy to get in the Hall of Fame. They don't like that. They look at Dungy as the guy who didn't get it done. But, Steve, the first coach the Glazers ever hired.
I got you.
The first coach he ever hired is in the Hall of Fame, Steve.
He's certainly 110% worthy of the Ring of Honor. You might argue the Hall of Fame a little bit. People can do that, but not the Ring of Honor. He's 110% worthy for the Ring of Honor. So
are these people forgetting what the Bucks were like and before he came aboard in 1996? You were here, you know.
A lot of them are, and that's fine. But on Dungy, here's the thing. In previous years, we've had an announcement this early on the Ring of Honor inductees. I think I forget which year we had a very early announcement. Maybe that was Lynch.
I think it was Lynch, yeah.
Well, Dungy works for NBC. He's under contract to be up in New York for those
weekends. Schedule's going to come out in a couple of weeks.
Maybe that will help determine the Glazers' decision. If they don't have a home Thursday night game, Are they going to ask Dungy to take a day off to come to Tampa? And would he do it? And what's his contract like? I'm not saying he wouldn't do it, but that might be a factor. You know, we don't know if they'll have a home night game, like a Monday night game this year, finally, which I think there's a good shot, or a Thursday night home game. So,
you hope, Steve, you hope there's no hurt feelings between Dungy and the Bucks at this point. I was there in Canton when he got inducted. It was a very heavy Colts presence that kind of overwhelmed the Buck presence. I thought that was unfortunate. The Glazers were there, co-owners.
Sure.
There's not hurt feelings enough to disrupt this Ring of Honor thing, which I think at this point is kind of overdue. So I'm going with Dungy right now.
And, you know, my favorite pick, Ira, to close the chapter on this story, my favorite pick would be Dungy and Gruden together. Would be just beautiful music and great theater.
Didn't you float that to one of the Glazers last week?
I can't discuss that, Ira. Come on.
Oh, listen to you. Let's put it like this. Don't expect that to happen. Don't expect that to happen.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right. Hard Knocks, Ira. Hard Knocks has been getting a lot of chatter.
Yes, it has.
The announcement for Hard Knocks, who's going to be, it's possible it'll come out before this podcast airs on Thursday, but you know what? It doesn't really matter. The Buccaneers have been talked about because they're one of the teams eligible. In order to be eligible, you have to not have a new head coach, and you have to not have made the playoffs last year. So the Bucs are in that category. Didn't make the playoffs and don't have a new head coach.
Buck fans wish they were ineligible because of number two. But
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So Dirk Cutter, when we talked to him about Hard Knocks, very open to it. I did it before, no big deal. He even said when Pete Prisco asked him at the owners' meetings, said, is there anything good about Hard Knocks? He said, yeah. You know, he said it can enhance your profile, and there are some other good elements to it. So to me, or to a seasoned guy like you, I think your radar went off like, it almost seems like they might know something they're not saying. What's your take there?
I hate to agree with you on anything, Izbits. I'm going to make an exception here. We also talked to Jason Light. And again, you know, the instincts. You go with your instincts, Steve. If they really didn't, if they were dead set against being on Hard Knocks, I think it would have come out, you know, from what Cutter said and what Light said and the way they said it. But it didn't, Steve. I would say a little short of they were encouraging an appearance on Hard Knocks. I got the impression they wouldn't mind it. They think the room is strong enough. They know that Winston is a driving force from a network point of view. Why wouldn't it with that charismatic personality of his? And they think they can handle it. And they don't mind the enhanced publicity. So you and I would not be shocked if the Bucks end up being the Hard Knocks team this year, and I don't think it would be a disaster.
Speaking of your instincts, Ira, we're going to trust your instincts because you've been covering the NFL since you started on the Browns beat in 1953.
I believe they met somewhere in 1920, Steve. That was the
original
meeting.
Well, you started
on
the beat in 53.
Oh, so, I got you.
It's been a while, so we'll trust your instincts. But I'll say this. I'm going to go out on a limb, Ira, and say the Bucs want to be on Hard Knocks because think about how much Jameis Winston has been bludgeoned by the national media for years now. We're going on years of Jameis taking a beating. The Bucks love Jameis so much, and they're so confident in his behavior.
Can you imagine the scene of him pulling in that parking lot, the first car in, and that being a very dominant image of the Hard Knocks show? Well, they would love that.
There's so much that they could show. But we know there's so much love for that Jameis, the quarterback, in that building among the Bucs officials. And they know the beating he's taken and his reputation, how it's been hit. I think they would love to do Hard Knocks for Jameis because he's going to show up and look so good on that show and turn around so many people and the eyes of the national NFL media watching. It's not just about the fans for the organization that I think they want him on Hard Knocks.
And that would be, Steve, do we need any more of an indication of where this franchise is in terms of, you know, Joel Glazer always loves to throw that word cycle around. And, you know, the cycle ended in, 2008, clearly. It was that was a defining moment.
It didn't end. It fell off the cliff.
The veteran purge was an acknowledgement. You know, our run's over. We got to start over again. Nobody knew it would take this long. But my point is, Steve, it shows where everybody, the brain trust and ownership, thinks that the Bucks are in their cycle, that they could handle Hard Knocks, that they would welcome Hard Knocks, and I think you're right. I think there's a feeling in the organization, bring it on, And you know what? That's kind of refreshing.
It's very refreshing. And again, going back to seasoning and instincts, you and I both know, we've been around long enough to know that if the organization didn't want to be on Hard Knocks, they'd be telling everybody, ah, we're really not interested in that. We're just focusing on winning games and not TV shows.
4 years ago, we're not even having this conversation. Not even having it.
Whatever it
Schiano,
is.
Schiano, you think Schiano would welcome Hard Knocks, Stephen? Come on.
No, no.
He got a lot of Hard Knocks, but he wouldn't welcome Hard Knocks.
But all I'm saying is we know that if they didn't want to be on it, we would have heard about it big time in many different ways. So, yeah, that's, hey, I hope they're on it because I'm a selfish guy, and that's going to mean more visits to JoeBucksFan.com.
HBO prescriptions, subscriptions in the Bay Area would skyrocket. I'm telling you.
Oh, I don't have HBO. I'd be buying it.
Yeah, and you'd be buying it.
Along with thousands of others who listen to your podcast, which, of course, is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, and the same people read your columns. Do you know, Ira, more people listen to your podcast than read your columns. How do you feel about that?
I don't know about that, Steve, because this is a kind of a freewheeling podcast. I don't necessarily spend hours preparing. And when I sit down and write my column, I do my original research, Steve. So, you know, it's more bang for the buck for Buck fans. I'm okay either way. I'm okay.
You have no choice, Ira.
I got no choice.
You mean you don't spend hours preparing for the podcast?
Oh, my goodness. You know, no, Irv, I do not. I like it more spontaneous, Steve, and I think our listeners do, too. Keep those iTunes visits going because you keep track of this stuff.
Hey, people love the custodian of Canton. It's just, it's a way of life. It's a way of life, Irv. So here we are. Thursday is when this podcast pops, and we're 3 weeks from the NFL draft. And the Bucs are bringing in all these guys for visits. Now they allowed 30 official visits, and they can bring in local guys, guys who went to high school here or USF or wherever. They can bring them in more and freely. They don't count toward that 30 number. What do you make of these visits? Does it mean anything when they bring a guy in?
I wouldn't take it to the bank. It shows maybe a curiosity. When the guy comes in, he doesn't have a lot of time to distinguish himself. And stamp himself as a future Buccaneer. Having said that, you know, Buck fans want to know everything that's going on at one Buck place. They want to know what Jason Light had for breakfast yesterday. Now, you've been taking pictures of me in Phoenix, so, you know, our listeners already know what I have for breakfast when I sit down with Marvin Lewis. Thank you very much, Mr. Isbitz. Don't go overboard on these visits, Steve. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. The Buck draft board, it's kind of set. Not in stone, but it's kind of set. And I don't think these visits are going to shake up this board.
Yeah, the visit thing is interesting. I like to point to the example of back in 2014. Three guys the Buccaneers brought in for visits. Jimmy Garoppolo, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater. Did they have any intentions of drafting a quarterback in 2014, Ira? Do you believe that they had any intention of drafting a quarterback after signing Josh McCown?
No. The signing of McCown in Lovie Smith's mind, we're okay at quarterback, and that contributed to Lovie's downfall ultimately. It was a terrible decision. I was just talking to some Chicago guys last week in Phoenix. They were asking me about Glennon. What can you tell us about Glennon? And I said, well, here's what you need to know about Glennon. Lovie Smith looked at him and said, I want Josh McCown. They were stunned by that. I also said some nice things about Glennon. I said, he's going to be great from a media perspective. Great kid. Great work ethic. Won't make a lot of mistakes. But, Steve, in retrospect, you know, we always talk about, you know, Michael Johnson. We talk about Collins. But that decision about Josh McCown. And on top of that, Steve, towards the end of a lost Buccaneer season. And we do mean lost. You don't get any more lost than 2-14, Steve. He still played Josh McCown. He still played him while Glennon carried a clipboard. Just unbelievable. No, they didn't have any intention of drafting a quarterback. If they did, they would have drafted him.
Well, which goes to my point of you brought in three quarterbacks for a visit that year. 10% of your 30 guy visits, college visits, but you didn't plan to draft a QB. Now, we've talked in the past on the podcast, Ira, things are fluid. And sure, maybe something changed, but we know that they didn't plan to draft a QB in the first round, and those guys were first-round QBs, so Garoppolo went in the second. So the point here is that don't get your panties all on fire because the Bucs brought in certain guys for a visit. Sometimes they have a guy scouted so well, they like him so much, They've already talked to the head coach, his college coach. Maybe it's somebody that they know personally very well, somebody they trust. They've already made the decision on a guy, so they don't want to visit with him anymore. They'll spend it on a guy that they're questionable on.
That's right.
And Mark Dominic, I've talked to him in the past about visits. Sometimes, he said, sometimes you visit with a guy because you actually think that, well, I'm not going to draft him, but I like him. And maybe if he becomes a free agent in 4 years,
you know, bring in a guy because you want to know more about him.
I'd like to know more about him.
You want to know more about him.
Or you want to ask about his teammates. You want to press the guy on maybe you're interested in teammates.
To suggest these are guys that they've decided they're going to draft in the fifth round is ludicrous. They want to know more about him. Absolutely.
Yeah, and on the flip side, sure, there are most of the guys they are interested in, but doesn't mean they're interested in all of them or that they all necessarily have a leg up. But we'll see. And it's going to be interesting. A polarizing guy, Ira, who's going to be coming in for a visit, from what I understand, along with many others. But we'll see who actually shows up. The visits kick off now. O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama. Everybody says he's a first-round pick. Some people think he's extremely special. Some people don't. Some people say we got a tight end in Cameron Brate. This guy, Howard, Ira, he's polarizing for Bucks fans because a lot of people love him and a lot of people think we have no need for this guy. It's not a need pick.
It's the emergence of Brate that makes this so intriguing. Brate's become a fan favorite, Steve, and for good reason. The guy catches everything thrown in his radius. What he doesn't do is he's not an adept blocker, Steve, and he doesn't give you a lot of yards after the catch. Those are two areas where O.J. Howard excels in, Steve. He's a three-down tight end. His production was not overwhelming at Alabama, but Alabama's always a running team anyway. So it's hard to gauge Howard. He played big in big games, Howard, and he's a downfield threat, which Brate isn't necessarily. So, Steve, we're going to be talking more about guys like O.J. Howard in the next couple of weeks. But if I'm a Buck fan, I keep an eye on Howard. Will he be there at 19? Maybe, maybe not. If he is, that's really where the intrigue builds because he's not a glaring need, but he might be that best player available at that point, and that wouldn't be a bad way to go for the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston last year, you remember it, Ari, you saw it live. Jameis Winston was openly lobbying for Cameron Brate to make the Pro Bowl. He believed that Brate was a Pro Bowler. Guy caught 8 touchdowns. Fantasy football fans across America love Cameron Brate. Was a sleeper pick all last year. Bucks fans like him for that reason, as well as the obvious, you know, that he catches touchdowns, he's a good football player. Very interesting call here because
they might look at Howard, Steve. They might look at him as a rare bird, a rare talent that doesn't come along very, very often. And if they do, then they're going to take a hard look at him at 19.
You know what? I'm going to mention this, and I apologize in advance to Bucks fans. They viewed Austin Seferian Jenkins as a rare talent that doesn't come along very often. Your man, Mr. Dirk Koetter, Ira, openly told the media that he believed that Seferian Jenkins, with his tools, was not necessarily his head, but in his toolbox and his physical ability, was in the mold of Tony Gonzalez. And so
We should have ordered a blood test. We should have ordered a blood test right then and there.
Scary. But he did
now,
say that.
Steve, that brings us to one of Jason Light's great quotes. When you miss on a prospect 90% of the time, it's the guy and not the talent. That's certainly the case with Austin Seferian Jenkins. Yeah, he's got talent. We're not questioning that. He's got downfield ability. But what a knucklehead, and Jet fans are about, you know, they're finding that out right now. Did he miss the team bus, Steve? Did he miss the team bus?
Not that I know of, but he will be reunited with Josh McCown.
Oh, my goodness.
So Bucks fans who enjoy a good torture, enjoy a good pain session.
Mark the Jets down for the number one pick in the 2018 draft, Steve.
Oh, you can tune in to the Jets this year, watch Seferian Jenkins and McCown have 2014 flashbacks. We'll all be happy for you. Also in the draft, Ira, though, moving toward the draft, cornerback. I don't like to just talk offense, even though everybody seems to be focused on this draft. At corner, the Bucks, you're looking at Hargraves, a very old Brent Grimes. And what do you got next? You got Josh Robinson, who did not really play any snaps at corner last year, was buried on the bench, although he was a great special teams player. And at nickelback, you got Jude Ajay-Barima, who was suspended and is a young player, and Javian Elliott, undrafted free agent. That's not depth. That's not depth, Ira.
But there's one secret weapon that you seem to be focused on. Maybe a guy who's changing from safety to corner, who you think might be arriving in time to save the day.
I'm not on the Ryan Smith bandwagon. I mean, I know the Bucks think that he's going to move and transition to corner well, move back there where he played in college. But what do you think? I don't care about the Bucks.
You are asking a legitimate question because they're in a quarterback-rich division. And in this day and age of three wide receivers, splits, four wide receivers, you got to have more than two good corners. The Bucks have two good corners. I think Hargraves is going to take a huge jump in year two and be more aggressive like Cutter wants him to be. As you said, Grimes not getting any younger, but turned in a very solid season. You got to have more, Steve. And even if a guy doesn't go down, you got to have more. That nickelback's playing 75% of the time, Steve, and he better be good. You know, we're used to Rondé Barber around here. We're spoiled. So I think corner is going to have to be addressed. Even if not necessarily in the draft, I think it'll be one of those late cuts, final cuts around the league, and I think the Bucks will pick up. In my mind, I think they'll pick up a veteran corner to give them a little depth at that position.
I'm going to make a bold call, Ira, bold call. Now, I could say it's a fluid situation, but if I had to bet right now, if somebody gave me was willing to wager, I would say the Bucks do take a corner in the first three rounds. Now, it's not going to be in the first round, but I think second or third round, I think you could
see a
corner.
You got the Bucks addressing nine different positions in the first three rounds.
No. I wouldn't. Third round cornerback, I'd put some money on that.
You're like some people in that Hall of Fame room who weigh in on all 15 candidates, and at the end of their speech says, I'll be really disappointed if this person doesn't get a bust in Canton this year, knowing full well only five out of the 15 maximum are getting in. You can't say stuff like that. That's about the ninth different position you got the Bucks drafted in the first three rounds.
Come on, you're exaggerating. I'm going to say third-round cornerback. I'm just saying it. Third-round cornerback.
All right. And that guy will be given every chance to win the nickel position, correct?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. And they just need the depth there. It's too obvious. I mean, we all try to look and dig deep. Old Grimes. Old Grimes, very old Grimes, 34-year-old corners. Not a lot of 35-year-old corners in the history of the NFL. And you got unproven players all over the board, and Josh Robinson couldn't crack the lineup for Mike Smith. Mike Smith thought Alteron Verner was better last year, and Verner has no team. It's April. He's got no football team. That should tell people an awful lot about what the Bucks thought of Josh Robinson last year.
Ryan Smith's going to get every chance.
He will.
He's going to get every chance.
He deserves it.
Because if he succeeds, that's going to buttress. There's another word for it.
Buttress.
Light's already impressive draft record. Imagine if Ryan Smith contributes significantly in 2017. The Glazers will be falling all over themselves and lavishing money on Mr. Light.
Now we'll see if he develops. I just think they're going to. I think third round cornerback. I think it's very reasonably likely. So we'll have some fun there. All right, Ira.
All right, buddy.
It's been exciting to be with you on this
podcast
again.
We're almost close to when the guys reconvene at One Buck Place, Steve. That's coming up soon.
April 17th, so it's around the corner. Back to work. Mr. Marpet is going to be a hot, hot name on that first day.
And so will the kicking battle, obviously.
Well, the real hot guy on that first day is going to be, and I'm very curious to see if he's made available for the media, because on the first day when they report back, it's not like an open practice where everybody's available. Some of the guys can sneak in.
Select players, Steve.
Well, you know, we could be there in the morning if we want to when they walk in and they'll talk. And then the Bucks will pull select players in the afternoon for us to chat with. But the one guy I'm very curious to see if he talks, and if he's coached right, he will talk a lot. That's Doug Martin. Because I would think his agent wants his face out there,
His
message out there, his power out there. I think he wants Martin plastered around the league where on Total Access and NFL Network, they're talking, hey, Doug Martin looks great, and he's talking a good game, and
he's resurrected himself. Yeah,
he says he's resurrected.
Steve, look at the storylines. You got Marpet / Sweezy. You've got the kicking battle. You got Doug Martin. We got good stuff coming up.
Big time, and Jameis coming back. And you know, let's face it, we talked about it in the last podcast, Ira. You know the big storyline—not a storyline—and
the specter of Adrian Peterson.
Around, and Jameis, because he'll talk about
sure he will
AP. So
he talked about DeSean Jackson, right? And we know what happened there.
And odds are, Peterson won't even have a team yet. So Jameis will feel free to say all kinds of things. So that should be a lot of fun. All right, Ira, what is fun is your podcast. It's good to sit here with you. Your columns, of course, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on JoeBucksFan.com. And if you're listening, wherever you're listening, subscribe to the damn podcast. You get a nice alert to your phone. It says the Ira Kaufman podcast has been downloaded. And
it'll get you through those traffic jams, Steve. You're all nervous about traffic. I'm late. Meanwhile, you pop the podcast on, all's right with the world.
Exactly. You can listen to it twice. You can take notes. You can go back to Tuesday's podcast and learn all about
Me and Arthur Blank and Irv.
Yeah, really in-depth on you and Irv. And you can even go back farther. You can hear Jason Light on our podcast last week. And more light to come. Fun never ends. And maybe, I'm hoping, Ira, when the Bucks do report back, maybe we get some special guests on the podcast.
Nice. We don't mean DeKemper either. Be nice.
All right, get out of here.